heard some of you would say Gordie Howe. And so this goes a long time back, and they ask about him, and it just hit me again. I'm going, he's not alive anymore. He's dead. So it's very interesting how fast this life really goes by. But it doesn't have to be disappointing. And based on the subject, again, I'm talking about today, I want us to all be reminded about that. You know, God cares about all of us. He's got a plan that will not be thwarted. This is not, by the way, this virus is not an oops moment for God, is it? Oops, I turned my back and look what happened. This is all in the planning. It causes us to watch. It causes us to be alert. We're watching all these things, and troubling that they are. The riots that have taken place. You know, I was back in Detroit in 1968. We had riots in Detroit at the time. So, in fact, they didn't stop there. Somehow, some people just enjoy rioting, I think. Because one of the first times after Detroit was so bad for a while in the 60s and 70s, they finally got a team together and they once again won the Stanley Cup. And you know what the people of Detroit did? They rioted and they burnt cars. Here's your celebration for winning, the trophy for your team for the first time. And that's the history of mankind. And so we can see the handwriting on the wall, I believe, that it's not going to get much better. We're supposed to be watching and praying. I think God's people have been really trying and doing this because he has blessed his people. So we're heading for this soon. We're looking for the soon coming kingdom of God to return once again. Well, God cares about everybody as well. I wanted to pass on this news. My wife, originally when she was hired into the Civil Air Patrol back in 2012, I believe it was, we were actually in the airport in San Francisco on our way to the feast in Santa Rosa. And we were down sitting in baggage claim awaiting our baggage, and she got the text that she was hired by the Civil Air Patrol. And her commander at the time was an older man, had served in the military, very, very nice man. Talk about speaking, he was very slow to speak, but very deliberate and precise, something that you would see out of the military from back in World War II times and things like that. And in fact, we were going through the camp dress, and then we looked at the Civil Air Patrol dress. And if I would show you the Civil Air Patrol guidelines for dress, it's much more strict than our camp program. It talks about the length of a woman's skirt, no tattoos, one earring in each ear. You can't have multiple earrings. You can't have colored, unnatural hair. I mean, the guidelines are incredibly strict going back to the Air Force guidelines. So those are still out there, by the way. So I wondered if some of our teens were a little bit thought that were restrictive. I was going to show them the Civil Air Patrol guidelines because they do have a cadet program, just like we have camp programs as well. But anyway, this man eventually, a couple of years later, I think he's in his 70s. I had met him before. I had met his wife. Very, very nice people. And she really, really liked this commander. So his wife eventually a couple of years ago died, and he had mentioned in response to my wife's note to him, wondering how he was doing. He says, "Not a day goes by without thinking of her." He said, "A minor bit of inspiration. My 91-year-old cousin fell earlier this year causing brain bleed. After extensive treatment, he is up and going again, 91 years old. His 60-year-old daughter's stage 4 cancer was not found on the last scan. I just had a PET scan on my stage 4 lung cancer, wasn't found. Prayer is a wonderful thing and goes well with faith. So praise God and continue your work." So that was from her previous commander. I thought that was really, really neat that, you know, God cares about all of his people. Obviously, here we are today, and I thought of this as a specific class that God invites us to every Sabbath so that we can be encouraged about what he is doing, what he's doing in our lives, and how we relate to the rest of the world. God says that we're supposed to be lights to this world. That's not always an easy thing because we have to consider how we dress, how we speak, you know, how our conduct is. That's not always an easy thing. So it's understanding who we are is the most one of the most important things that we can never forget. I brought this up in the first sermon I gave, if you saw the webcast. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 and just reflect on this again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, because some used to bring out, and some still do, I don't do Facebook that often, but there are sometimes some comments that reflect back to our times in the Worldwide Church of God back in the 60s or 70s. And I think as we all learn and look back, we have grown. I believe that we've grown. We've learned a lot, and we're continuing to learn a lot as well. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you should show forth the virtues, the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So we realize we are in a battle. It's not always easy. And again, even as Mr. Kylo said, the way that we speak sometimes, and I would consider sometimes, again, when you're as talkative as I am, it's difficult not to say something wrong sometimes. And we've got to check ourselves sometimes and think about those things and practice the things that are good. It says, "Having your conduct honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers," those days probably are coming, brethren. They're probably going to get worse. We all know that. It just, we'll see how bad it's going to get. As they may by your good works, which they will behold, glorify God in that day when their eyes are opened as well. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do well. So we try to abide by those things, by the ordinances, by the certain local laws. That's why we've had to take a look at those. That's why we've had to take a look at the camps, at the getting together with congregations and saying, can we abide by the local regulations or by the state rules and not just throw those out as maybe some kind of conspiracy? So we've had to really take a look at both sides and come to a balance and say, what does God expect us to do? How can we follow these guidelines? Because again, for 3 months, we were not able to meet for services. That was not an easy thing. And even as we considered the camp programs, all the testing that would have to be done, and all the people that come from different states. So as you heard our discussion over the webcasting, we had all these different ideas and different thoughts, and you would listen to somebody and go, how would we accomplish this? How would we check the kids in from different states and different places and know that they're safe? And would we have the testing? How would we do this? How do you put a camp together where the kids could get together at 6 feet? How are you going to have dances? How are you going to play basketball? How are you going to do any of these things? And we just came to the point where we just could not, as much as we want to have the camps, we could not feasibly do it. So maybe this will be a year for the kids to thirst more for camps, and not that they don't appreciate them, but really look forward to them next year. So plans are underway for that already. But this is what we have to live by. Verse 15, it says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish people, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Now, speaking of this cloak, let's go to Isaiah 59 and verse 17. This is the topic I want to get into again today, because we've got to be zealous. And I've mentioned this before, but sometimes, as we all have gotten the spiritual wind knocked out of us, haven't we? Sometimes, and again, when you can't meet for 3 months, Mr. Franks was very concerned about this. And it's not easy. Doing what you have done for these 3 months. I was looking forward to getting together. We were able to get together with under 10 people. It's not the same, though, as having your local congregations and having everybody together. And even now, we're a bit limited. I know the ladies are getting a nice break from having to do food, But again, it'd be wonderful to have that again too, and we're looking forward to that time of being able to sit together and have another meal together and enjoy our fellowship together and to talk together. Isaiah 59, verse 17, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head." So, you know, when Paul referred to this in Ephesians, he referred to the armor of God here, obviously from Isaiah. "And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing." The garments of vengeance for clothing. Paul talked about that too, about revenging our disobedience. "And was clad with zeal as a cloak." Remember, those Roman soldiers used to use that cloak on the back. It's interesting how he used that analogy, the cloak of zeal. So we have to be zealous about what we're doing. And that can only come when we really truly understand who we are. And we're not better, as you know, than anybody else. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are out there that believe in Jesus Christ, this man who believes in prayers and the power of healing, and God does do that. He's not just let this world go astray. I know before I was in the true church, I believed that God heard our prayers. We prayed sincerely to God, and yet we didn't totally understand who he was. And we understand he opened our eyes like he will in the future with this plan that he has. The rest of the world will come to this understanding as well. So we understand again who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. That was the first point. Do we really know who we are? If I ask you who you are, oh, you can certainly mention your name, but guess what? That's going to be changed, isn't it? We're all going to get brand new names. Be interesting to hear what our names will be and that language that we'll be speaking in. Sometimes we don't even think about that. We think about other things. But what about our names? What about that pure language? I really don't believe it's going to be Hebrew. Some people think Hebrew is going to be the pure language. Hebrew's got, even though the English language has plenty of problems, Hebrew's got its own problems as well. So I don't believe that will be, but we'll see, won't we? We'll see what that's going to be in the future. But we can't ever forget that we've been called for the most important purpose in this entire universe. And we've been personally, each one of us, selected by God our Father through Jesus Christ to a destiny, which will be to rule and to serve as critical members of the family of God, to teach and serve those who God will call and raise up in that second resurrection. So we are the saints, the first fruits of God, called to the better resurrection. So I hope that can sometimes, if you feel like you've had the spiritual wind knocked out of you, can help as you pray to God and ask for that back. Let's turn to, now I forgot the scripture, I'm sorry. I pulled my paper out and I lost the scripture. Let me see if I could find it really quick. I know it's in 2 Corinthians. Here we are. I did find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I wonder if any of you out here have ever suffered before. Have ever hurt before. You know, interesting things that can happen from the smallest cuts. I got a note this past week from one of our members who stubbed her toe pretty bad. And it's interesting when you stub that little toe how much it can hurt. And I've probably told you before, I remember stubbing my toe once and it actually caused it to bleed. And as it was healing, I went ahead and stubbed it again. And I'm very cautious when I walk around things now. I just watch very closely. Once you get that, it's very interesting on how you can protect that little toe. But obviously, there are people here that have had some major surgeries and other things. Watching my daughter go through her childbirth was hard. It was hard to watch that. And yet, I see her now. She sent a little picture of her feeding little Jackson. Months have gone by now, and he's already in drawers pulling things out. So this goes on with the grandchildren, and those are in with the children phase now. We can understand that, what you're going through. But she was feeding him a tomato, and just the expression on his face. Jacqueline never liked tomatoes. I didn't know that, but my wife told me she never liked tomatoes either. So when you see him, she gave him a little piece of tomato, and you can see his face just go, like this. It's so neat watching that. But here he is, and time's gone by so fast, and now they're going through all these things. Again, when you think about these things and see what we have to go through and what we have to suffer sometimes, and you see what Paul has said, Paul's been dead a long time now. In verse 7 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We realize sometimes through those pains and sufferings, we're not God yet, are we? I look forward to the day when we won't have any pain anymore. We'll be able to do different things, and I don't know if I can even do the chicken fat song, because I can't touch my toes. Get our spiritual bodies, we'll be able to touch our toes. We'll be able to do back. Who knows when that suffering stops. Verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're hard-pressed, but not crushed. We are perplexed. Are you and I perplexed? I am. I'm perplexed. I'm so perplexed because the country that I was born into is not the same country anymore. And you and I watch that. We see it. It's not the same anymore. It's gone from being a pretty good country. Oh, in comparison to God, pretty miserable. But I'm talking about as a country that did believe in God, that had moral values, that's got Moses with the Ten Commandments on our Supreme Court. And all those are going by the wayside. I wouldn't be surprised in the future if somebody wants to chisel that off our Supreme Court. And what does it matter when you don't follow those laws or commands anyway? You and I see something different. It's perplexing to me. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. You know, I think our safety, our feeling safe, will probably go down in the future. You know, especially with the anarchy that they're letting rule the streets, and it will probably get worse as well. So we're watching all these things take place. So I think we can relate to this. We're perplexed. But we're not in despair. Because when I look back at it, I go, God is still in charge. God knows exactly what's going on. So I can't do anything about this. I can't do anything about the politics, nor do I want to get involved with that. So God, what do you expect me to do? What am I supposed to do? Number one, it should be preparation. We're in preparation for something very, very important that's coming on the scene. And who are you and I to know when we're going to take our last breath? That can come just like that. But we need to be in preparation every day. It said in verse 9, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. And we've not even got to the persecution stage yet. We've been allowed to freely meet, freely go to so many places in this country. They're much worse in Paul's time when you're under, in a sense, the bonds of the Roman Empire. They couldn't do whatever they wanted. Verse 10, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Christ's sake, that the life of Christ may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So he's speaking, our bodies are, this is not looking good, folks. You know, when you look at the ages, as I look back when I was young, wow, you're growing, you're doing those markings at the door, I'm another half inch, I'm another inch. I remember those times. And you get, but when's that point where you reach that pinnacle and then the body starts going down? You get to that point where you realize this is just not going to get any better. And that can be perplexing. But again, you and I know, as we're called by God, we look forward to that time and the future that's going to come so soon, faster than we know it. How fast have our lives gone by this quickly? and it's gone. Understanding who we are is very, very important, that we can live this life, not just say it, not just speak it. Verse 13, he says, "But since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Christ and will present us with you." We talk about those times, and I don't know exactly how that's going to be, but does that not arouse some curiosity and some excitement and therefore maybe some zeal? That each and every one of us will be presented with Christ before the Father? Wow. When you live this life, sometimes our life gets to go on so much physical stuff that we don't take the time to think about this, and therefore, if we're going to be presented before the Father, how do you want to be presented before the Father? You know, in purity, in that sense, if we're the first fruits and we are presented, we can figure that we've made it. If somehow we find ourselves in the second resurrection, I'd be going, uh-oh, the weeping and gnashing of teeth, knowing what we've missed out as those first fruits. He finishes here, he says, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause the thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." So when I just read something like this by a man that I know is not a first fruit, but who thanks God, and I see God's healing, even people out in the world that aren't first fruits, he still hears their prayers as well, and they're going to be resurrected in their order in due time. But it makes me thankful all the more. If God is watching them, how much more is he watching us? How much more is he watching me and what I'm doing? So hopefully when we get knocked down at times, thinking about this will cause us to get back up. That brings me to point two. Point two in having zeal for God for life. The zealousness that's so much needed, because we're going to get pounded more. Now, I've mentioned some time ago, after all the different splits that we've gone through, you know, my family having gone through our major one and then two others, you know, you get knocked down. And you know, you come to love so many people in the organizations that we are in. I know in the first one, some were here even at that time in Northern Kentucky, we were cut off from 300-400 people that we really loved. And all of a sudden you look back at that, most of those people, most of them are gone. Not even keeping the truths that we held on. So we got back up. And we started going again. We started going forward, and God guided us. So we were in another organization. And all of a sudden, that one split apart. And so what did we do? We got back up again, and we moved forward. And then the next one split apart. And so what did we do? We got back up, and we got back going again. And somebody had mentioned to me, well, if this ever happens again, forget it. And I just said, you just resigned yourself to failure. Guess what? If it falls down again, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep going. And if it falls again, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep going. Is it hurt? Yes. Any splitting or division is always going to be painful, but there's always something that we can learn about it as well. So here's what we do when we get back up. It's so easy to point our fingers, as it was mentioned, to somebody else, but our job is to look at ourselves. Point two is reestablishing a commitment. Reestablishing a commitment. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And here's another interesting focus as we look back at the book of Revelation. I remember there's three ways that we could or can look at Revelation. These are letters for sure. There's no doubt that they're letters. Letters to the churches, right? I mean, from the very beginning, these messages were sent from God the Father. It says from the very beginning through Jesus Christ to an angel, to John. It was passed down. Letters were written to these churches. So messages. Another way that we looked at them were eras. I can't prove that. Is it possible? Certainly is. But if we focus, as we, I believe, sometimes used to, so much on eras, it took away from the importance of the message. These letters have incredibly important messages. They're not just to those specific churches. Those messages are to us. And let's see how this one in chapter 2 applies to the church of Ephesus. Verse 1, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candles, lampstands. I know your works and your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil." I think I'm among a group of people that I can say this about. There has been patience. There's been a continuance in plotting. Has it been frustrated? Yes, it's been frustrating. Have we got the wind knocked out of us? Absolutely. But we get up and we keep going. And now we get pounded again by Satan. And doing our best to follow the guidelines, but getting back up and coming again. No one here has failed. I don't know of anyone that said, "I'm not coming anymore." There are some, because of severe health problems, that can't be here today. We understand that. But we're still moving forward. So this right here is talking about us. "You cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles or ministers or whatever other title, and are not, and have found them liars." And we have had those in leadership positions that have exactly been like this. And I've thanked God. Thank you so much for making that obvious. Because once you treat somebody a certain way, anti-God's way, once you don't love your brother, once you even say they're not my brother, thank you for making that so understandable. Because I know I can't walk with you if you justify lying. So that kind of makes it easy, but we're watching and praying and looking at these things. Verse 3, it says, "And you've persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." Even though I've witnessed, at least in the three church areas that I've served, a reason for people to get weary. But they get up and they keep coming. And they get up and they keep coming. And they don't give up. And they love God. And they love his purpose. And they can't wait to come to services. Can't wait to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know of anyone here that says, "Oh, great, we get a break from church now. We don't have to go to services on Sabbath." I think everybody here was looking forward to getting back together again, and hopefully we can. And that's the attitude God needs to see in us. But he says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Now, wasn't that a critical word when you and I were called into this church? Because I never heard it, you know, as a Lutheran growing up for 14 years, I don't believe I ever heard of repentance, nor did I even understand it if you said that word. And that word became so clear when God called me into his church that I actually had to do something. What did I have to do? Well, just some very basic things. I was keeping Sunday. I was shown Saturday. Keep Saturday. And as I've mentioned to you before, I was cutting grass on Saturday because I had a Detroit Free Press paper route, so I delivered papers in the morning. And so how did I deal with that? Because I was still delivering papers when I came into the church. So I had to find somebody else to deliver papers on the Sabbath for me, which God helped me to find. So then I was cutting grass. So I would actually go cut grass in the morning, come back, take a shower, go to services. I didn't know about not working on the Sabbath day. It was just like eye-openers. Then different things along the way, the different foods and different ways expressing ourselves in language. I can't curse anymore. No, it's not a good reflection of God anyway. So all these different rules that you're looking at and guidelines that God gives to you. But it was exciting. It was so exciting. I don't ever want to forget that. So which first works? You have to go back in your life and think about your calling. God's calling in your life. Let's use some letters for this. A, capital A. God's calling in your life. What was yours like? I never want to forget mine. When I baptized somebody new, I thank God for the most special time in somebody's life when they're baptized. Wow. The start of their spiritual journey, and now you've become a first fruit through the laying on of hands. That's so exciting to see those things. And the beginning of their journey, what was yours like? I've probably told you before. I remember it was a horse trough. I believe it was two people that I was baptized with, and I had a nice basement to go down to, a really nice painted horse trough and warm water. So I wasn't really tested. These two men that were just baptized, that water was so cold that when they came out of it, I didn't know if it was the Spirit or it was the cold water, because their eyes were just wide open. But what a wonderful time. But I still remember that. And I do believe that the one woman, I saw her at the feast in 2008. And I was so rejoicing that, wow, here's another person that's hung on. You know, when you see how many people that give up and you see the few that are still in, it's exciting to see that. You've not given up. You've hung in there. Because most of my family in Detroit are gone. Most. The ones that I came into the church, the ones that welcomed me so openly, and it was my family. That's what it felt like. And it was devastating to see what happened to that family. And not very, very few out of hundreds. We used to meet at a place called Roma Hall for the holy days in the Detroit area. Probably like some of you did here, you'd combine services and you'd have 800, you know, lots of people. And so we gathered together, 800, 1,000 people, and most of those didn't survive it. Well, I remember I was baptized, and so Mom took me to Big Boy. Big celebration. You would have thought at least I'd get a Ruth's Chris or something like that. Big Boy. I never want to forget that either. The time just, you're there, Mom and I were there, and nothing really happened. No sparks went off. No firecrackers, no fireworks. Just a very simple baptism and calling into God's Word. And then it's almost like, okay, now watch what's going to happen now. And I never thought the things that happened from that. I never would have dreamed all those things would have happened. I kind of wanted to see the world a little bit. God knew that. And so he allowed me to go to China, allowed me to go through Europe, allowed me to go on the Jerusalem dig. Never would have thought that I would have had those opportunities to go to a college to get all that instruction that was so wonderful. Well, what am I going to do with this? God says, stand back and let me show you. Because that's when I thought, at times when things got perplexing, as Paul would say, I think we've all been in those times, things got a little bit perplexing. And I kind of wondered for a little, just a short time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Do I still want to do this? And then I thought, in a sense, I don't have any choice. I prayed to God and go, I'm never going to give it up. Now, you can take me out if you want to, but I'm never going to give it up. Did I lose my zeal at times? Yes, I did. I got the spiritual wind knocked out of me. And I had to pray to God, and I've mentioned before, God gave it back to me. So if you find yourself in those positions, then you can pray to God too. I need the zeal and get that back. That's reestablishing your commitment. The difference it was making by maybe answered prayers and in an excitement that you now had. You know, during this time, we were able to actually go and distance to a shower. I kind of went along for the ride. So obviously, men don't go to showers, the women do. But I went along for the ride. I never thought I would go to Arkansas. I never thought about going to Arkansas, but we went to Arkansas and was able to acquaint myself with an elder that I knew about but had never really talked to at length. His name was Dennis and Lindy Foltz. Lindy's helping with some of the online classes, and Dennis is an elder living in the Bentonville area. That's where the big Walmart operations are and all that. So, and what I didn't realize, though, is I wasn't sure where we were staying that night. It wasn't going to be at Dennis and Lindy's at least not that night. But we were staying at the brother's house. And I didn't know that, and saw these four kids that were walking out. The youngest one comes out, and the girl comes out, and they're anywhere ages, I believe, from four to 12 years old. And then all of a sudden, it hit me. It hit me like a ton, like just a baseball bat right upside my head. I saw these four kids come out, and I thought, these are the four kids without a father. Theirs is the one Nathan that died a few months back after the feast. And so this is Alicia with four kids without a father. And it just stung me. Wow, these four kids don't have a dad. And I thought, you know, you can get a prayer request, can't you? Please pray for this person. But when you are there and see four kids and a mom that's going to need so much help and strength. Well, so very, very, very special time that we got to be able to fellowship and to meet and to actually meet those kids. Because we all sat at a table and they started asking me jokes. Don't start asking me jokes, because you're going to know where that's going to go. If you ask me jokes, I'm going to do some follow-ups here. So my first one was asking them, well, how did Noah get around with the ark at night? How was he able to see where he was going? They said, we don't know. I said, floodlights, of course. And of course, then it started. So we were able to get some humor in there, and just, you know, again, a wonderful memory with people that are hanging in there. People that are hanging in there. The excitement that's still out there. And I know, again, everybody I know is looking forward to the feast. I remember, you remember the fellowship that you had? I saw some of your pictures from Orange Beach last year. And I thought, these people are having way too much fun. Still excitement and still answered prayers in our life. So remembering God's calling in our life. Remembering, B, the desire and excitement for truth instead of the unanswered questions and confusion of life. The desire and excitement for truth. There are people that you could not wait to get your next correspondence course, could you? Now, what do we have today? Here we go again. This is actually probably a difficulty, in a sense, for some. You know, in this day and age, some of our kids, our teens, I remember being there, because I remember my grandma saying, he's just trying to find himself. She was right. I didn't know what I wanted to do. What direction do I go? So I tried all different things. I made army tanks for a while before I was called. I tried for a professional hockey career and that was kind of the chinker when I got cut. And I was so disillusioned, I was so angry that I wrote an article into the paper. And the next day someone responded and said, that guy sounds like he's got a chip on his shoulder. And I did. And I did. But I thought, one day I just said, Mom, I think I'm going to come to church. So God was guiding me at that time. And you know, it's almost like you couldn't get enough, though. I heard people that you couldn't wait for your next correspondence course. I want a minister to come because I want to be baptized. You know, you couldn't get enough. You know how much we have now? Go on Life, Hope, and Truth and see how much that we've got. You've got Wednesday studies that come out. You've got Friday Night Lives. You've got magazines. You've got booklets. We've got so much information that's just buttons away from access on all these different classes. How do you sort through all that? Well, it's good to start with something. There's something there for everybody that we can take a look at. But all that information is out there, and it's refined. It's been thought through. It's been gone over. We have made some mistakes. We've made changes. And we're probably still going to do this as we learn and grow. But do we still have that desire? Do we still have that excitement? See, is the desire to share this calling with other people. The desire to share. Now, we can do this, obviously, collectively. We can do it collectively, and we do. We band together, and God has blessed us, as you know, so much. I think Mr. Franks is just almost beside himself. There are two Mr. Franks now. He's beside himself. Because despite staying home And despite all these things that have caused people, a lot of people, by the way, to lose jobs. I would go by some of these places, the Ryan's, the Golden Corral, empty. The restaurant's empty. Some restaurants have closed down. Chains have closed down. And yet our income, we have the highest holy day offering. How does that happen? God has still blessed us. And that should be encouraging to us and grateful to God. I know so many of us, as my wife, work out of the home now. I've had to eat down at my mother-in-law's because our kitchen table is filled with computer equipment and screens. But God has tremendously blessed us. So there's an excitement there, but the desire to share, because now with those funds, we can have more programs. We can get this message out to other people. And then you and I in our lives can still be lights and witnesses to other people as well. But is that desire there? D, the desire to fellowship with brethren, no matter the different kinds of personalities. So interesting, the different personalities that we've got. You know, I'm looking at a book that I even brought with me. I'll quote that maybe next time. But, you know, Jesus Christ, when he lived on this earth, I believe he called disciples with different personalities. You know that here's John and here's Peter. You had the extremes. And then you had the others that were in the middle. This one book talks about the different personality types. I'm interested in those because I believe they're correct. It doesn't necessarily place you. For instance, let's take a look at one type of a personality, an extrovert and an introvert. So extrovert, introvert. I'm probably here on extrovert. Now my son is here. So it's interesting watching all this, though. You can watch these things. And others, even your own kids, are different personalities. They're all going to be different. And so God has called all of us to be different, too, hasn't he? We've always had unique characters within the church. You've seen unique ministers, haven't you? They're just all different. So he calls different personalities. Now, I've learned to value that. Because like it was said, when you're over here on the extrovert scale, you're going to have a lot more difficulty with what was brought up. Think, because we tend to talk a lot. And so then it talks about, the Bible says, be slow to speak. Solomon said, let your words be few. Why? Because they get you into trouble a lot more. And again, appreciating the different personalities. Sometimes Jeannie would have to tap me when I'm talking. Hon, you're not letting them talk. So because they would speak of something and something came to my mind which excited me. Or you can go with the one comedian that talked about somebody sitting there and talk about, he said, don't ever talk about two wisdom teeth being pulled, because somebody's going to bring in their four wisdom teeth story. They're going to go, well, that ain't nothing. I had four pulled, and I was back to work the same day. So sometimes, again, learning how to function with each other, even with different personalities, and learning to appreciate that and desire that. I know when I came into the church in Detroit, there were a singles group. Wow, were they different. They were so different. And yet we enjoyed our fellowship so much together because we appreciated the personalities. And we didn't judge each other. You were drawn to people because of the calling that you had in common with them, not because they had the same tastes you had. In fact, many would not even have sought each other out in the world because we came from different backgrounds, whether it had to do with education, with race, personality. God brings people together, and he cuts through prejudices. His way yields peaceable fruits. And we have E. There was a desire to learn how to do things better and have a higher standard in life. Remember that? We always shot for this, just like we did with the camp programs. And we keep shooting for that. Raising the bar was one of our themes. Holding fast to what is good was our theme for this year. That might be carried to next year since we are not able to do a whole lot with it. We'll have to discuss that if we get to the camp meetings this November. But there was always raising that bar to something higher, and that sometimes would make other people judge and say, well, you think you're better than us. No, I don't. That's why I'm trying to raise the bar. I'm trying to better myself in my life. I'm trying to better my speech, better my language in a decrepit body that's not getting better. But even that might be taking care of our health more in the way we eat, in the way we see and watch labels. I've learned and grown. I hope you have too. I'm a label watcher. I see stuff and I go, what is that? Do you know, when I'm reading sometimes, it says natural flavors. Really? It doesn't tell you what the natural flavors are. And you find out what the natural flavors are if you want to reach out and do some calling. Very easy to do that nowadays. So when you have to ask yourselves, do you want to take that into your body? Or do you want to find something different or something better? And it takes extra work, but you're raising the bar to try to get your health in line. And some people have been forced to change their lifestyles because of what's happened in their body. And that's not just all to do with health, but it has to do with our spiritual lives as well. First Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10. When some of you saw that the things that were taking place this week, even in Minnesota, how'd you feel about all that took place? Number one, I said, I'm glad it's not happening in my city, although we did have some protesting in Knoxville. But it made me really sad. Sad to see an occurrence take place that's happened before too many times. Also to realize there's a lot of policemen that have been shot as well. You know, for years, as we've had some of these things take place in the past years, many of the police departments have tried to initiate programs where they engage with the public a little bit more so they can get their trust. And then all of a sudden you get a case like this that happens and it's like destroys everything that they've tried to work for. How are you going to fix this? And then you get other people that come on board that just make it worse by what they say and what they do. And you know that they're trying to make it worse. They're trying to promote the divisions. I'm going, if I could, I'd go, not in my country. Let's pack the plane and you're not going to be living here. People taking over parts of the city in Seattle. That's called anarchy. And that's happening in our country. How do we feel about that? Bible kind of shows what we may need to feel about that. We'll turn to that in a minute, but 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's begin here in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, passed through the sea, baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, ate that same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink. In a different way they did. Now, our best reality is through the Ten Commandments film. But yet that happened. We're going to be talking to those people. I hope that God somehow has got this on a DVD. I'd love to see the reality. Could you recreate that reality as a spirit being? I'm not sure. But I'd love to actually see that. I would have loved to walk through that Red Sea. I would have not liked to have the same murmuring attitude that they had after they came through it. Because they came through and they were all zealous. They came out, it says, with a high hand, but they soon forgot, didn't they? And this is what it talks about. It says, with most of them, God was not pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And now you bring it up to date. What happened? What happened with our last splits? Their bodies are scattered in the wilderness. Spiritually speaking, they're gone. Same experiences that we had, but not the same beliefs anymore. And therefore, not the same categories as first fruits. They've forsaken that. Now these things became our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. And don't become idolaters as some of them, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And life goes on, as it says it will be in the future, despite these things taking place at the return of Christ. It says people will be marrying and giving in marriage. There'll be huge problems. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and one day 23,000 fell. Let's not tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor murmur, as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Oh, it's so hard when you're spoiled like we are to not murmur. It's so easy to complain about something. There goes that computer again. There goes a cord. Something will happen. You just get that thing all ready to go and something happens. Murmur, murmur, murmur. You know, very interesting. I don't know, by the way, if some of you remember, we've got a tech man in the church, and he really is responsible pretty much for a large amount of webcasting, especially for the feast. And his name is David Good. I don't know if some of you remember David Good. He was at Pigeon Forge a couple of years ago. I remember talking with him because David can operate. He's very good with us. And I asked him about, wow, you don't need any help. He goes, no, I know exactly what's going on. I asked him about backups. He has backups because he knows about this. So I go, you mean you have a backup computer? He goes, I've got two backup computers. I go, so you got a backup camera? He goes, I've got a backup camera. I've got backup cords. I've got backup everything. And that was the time that the webcast was supposed to be coming in that evening. And I saw the countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, and the blinking that happens on the 1. And all of a sudden, it was like the Death Star didn't function. Nothing came on. And I looked back at David. David was just back there very calm. And I went and talked with him after. He goes, I told the guys in Florida not to use the new software. And they used the new software. And so he goes, they're just going to have to wait me to put it back aboard. No murmuring, no complaining. He just said, this is what happened, and we're going to get it fixed. Well, this past week, David goes around in a bus, a big 8 type RV, recreational vehicle, but it's a pretty big one. And it burned down this week. And it started, they found out it started in the refrigerator. He smelled he got the smoke alarm that was in there, and they were able to get everybody out. And he wrote just to give an update on Facebook to everyone, so we can be praying for him, because he's hoping that the insurance company will treat him well. But he says, you know, all the stuff that was gone was just stuff. It's just stuff. And I thought, wow, no murmuring, no complaining. You know, the whole thing burns down, which in fact was all his computers were all in there as well. And he said, that stuff can be replaced. We're safe. So when you see things like that, what an example that is. And are we the same? Are we the fixers? When something goes wrong, no complaining, let's fix it, and then let's count our blessings. That's the difference. That's what this is talking about, is being different, being thankful, remembering who we are, reestablishing our commitment with God. Let's go over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I had a scripture that I wanted to end with here, but I want to make sure I get it. Yes, good. Okay, one scripture after this. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's our instruction for those that are called. These are the ones that are the potential kings and priests. This is how we're to live, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. That's how we're going to make it through this, but we've got to have the zealousness. Too much in this life causes us to be lazy because we've got it so good. Zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. Obey to be ready for every good work. And this is what we've been taught from headquarters. You can see it from Mr. Franks. Every week he would say, look, we're trying to do the best that we can do here. Here are the guidelines. We set out guidelines for the churches. This is what we're going to try to follow. Instead of saying, well, no, we're not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Well, there's reasons for not assembling as well. And when you get a virus that's been this bad, that's taken out a lot of people, then we've got to make a consideration there. Is that what God wants us to do? It says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating each other. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we become. We just came through a different Passover, wasn't it? So different. I did not expect that. But it was still a wonderful Passover because the same thing applied, remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us and the path that he's put on. And I simply just don't want to forget that. I want to remember who I am, because when you do, it causes you to be thankful and to think about our purpose and God's plan for us and how fast time goes. And that does not have to be negative. That can be very positive. The time is coming. A 95-year-old woman. Let's see, that puts me in 22 years. I'll be in that spot if we even get... What's the world going to be like in 22 years? I see what my kids and grandchildren are going to have to go through. Ouch. It's not looking good for them. But, you know, God says he's going to take care of each and every one of us. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 9, and we'll end here. Ezekiel chapter 9. This is where I feel, brethren, that we are. I'm so grateful, again, to fellowship with a family. I can look at London and Knoxville. In fact, by the way, on that trip to Arkansas, it was God reminded me of my churches, because I came before Bentonville. There's an exit called London. So there's a London. There's a London, Arkansas. Do you know what the next exit was? Knoxville. Have it that one. Where are you going to see? I was kind of looking. Where's Asheville now? I don't know if they have an Asheville. But, you know, I thought of my church family. This is your church family. It's my church family. I don't ever want to forget that. Because when the time comes, if you and I make it, if we get there, we're going to talk about these times. We're going to say, remember we were in that little group? Where'd we meet again? No, you're not going to, you'll have a sharp mind. You'll remember that. We met at that Country Inn and Suites. Remember all those things that we did and the times that we got together and how we held fast to it and we never gave up. And we remained close in that bond. Ezekiel chapter 9. It says, verse 4, it says, the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of those who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. He says, go, and to the others he said, my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark and begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. You know, God says a little bit lower, there was blood, there was perversity, and that's what's happening. And brethren, judgment time is near. This is, as we've said we can look at it in a different way. Do you remember thinking back in the late 80s or early 90s, this is not the same church that I started in. And we were very uncomfortable about it. We just didn't know what to do because it had never happened before. See, a time is coming in the future that this, in our lives, it's not happened before. Things are going to change in this country. What are we going to do? See, one thing that we learned, didn't we? A couple of the lessons, I'll never point the finger or judge anybody for thinking like this because it had not been done. But some said, well, God will take care of it because they thought that a corporate church would never fall. Big mistake. And now we've seen several corporate churches fall. So we look back at that and go, okay, as I would tell, I go, all my congregations know exactly who the head of the church is. That one's for sure. No doubt about it. Who's the head of your church? Jesus Christ. Okay, and then we understand the difference in a spiritual body and a corporate body. So we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because we still have to function within the church that way as well. So a lot of lessons have been learned. But a lot more lessons are going to be learned too. So here's what we can do. We can look forward to what's going to be happening in the future. We can talk about that. But don't forget to remember who you are. It's going to make an impact on how you function, how you live, what you do, and decisions that you're going to make. And then when you do fall, as we do, Paul talked about that, it's so frustrating that we fall, that you get on your knees and reestablish that commitment. You don't have to wait to Passover. We can do that every day. Reestablish that commitment with God. Keep that bar raised high. Shoot for the high road. And you'll never regret that. So think about that, because that's going to bring the zeal that we need for life. Ask God for that. Let's be a zealous people as we go forward.